Hello and welcome to the Business Brain Podcast.
Brought to you by the Business Brain Programme. We're the only podcast in the world to give you genuine business superpowers. We're your hosts. I'm Ollie Thompson.
I'm Omar Ibrahim. Enjoy the show.
Good morning. How's it going? All right?
Yeah, it's going really well. Good. Going really, really well.
Another Friday comes around.
Yeah, well, you know what's good about this Friday?
It leads to Saturday.
It's four Fridays till our event.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
We've got four Fridays until our event on resilience in Watford.
Yeah, in partnership with the Watford Chamber of Commerce.
Working together.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be cool.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. So we've been working hard getting that ready, as you're aware. Some great speakers. Really good topic on resilience. So we're gonna give people some, well, you know what tools we're gonna give them. Should we give it away on the call?
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about bulletproofing your sort of business brain, your mindset. And there's three fundamental areas I think that are gonna be really helpful for next year, because as we know, it's another uncertain year, isn't it? It's another tricky period of our lives, which is, you know, these things are sent to try us. So unless we develop how we think and behave, then obviously we're going to struggle a little bit more than most people. So I just think one of the first things that we should really explore is patterns of thinking, patterns of behavior, because once you understand what patterns are, what patterns you have, what patterns other people have, and what society has in terms of how they do things, you'll realize that quite a lot of patterns are actually quite unhelpful. We'll explore that and noticing, becoming much more aware of those patterns. And then go on.
I was going to say, I mean, there's three levels of patterns, isn't there? We're going to talk about that.
Yeah. So what's your understanding of those three levels then?
Well, the first one is understanding.
Yeah.
That's right. Understanding patterns, noticing them, seeing them. Mm-hmm. You know, the best example here I've got is when you're a teenager, you know, and you come home and there's immediate conflict as you walk through the door. Did you ever have that? Come home stinking of fags?
Oh, yeah.
You know, probably not you stinking of fags. That's no. Normal, but, you know, and your parents immediately say, "Have you been smoking?" And you say, "No."
Yeah. You know,
well, that's a pattern, isn't it? It leads to conflict and you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's the second one. You know, the first level is understanding patterns and noticing them, seeing them happen. Mm-hmm. You know. And the second level is, you know, recognizing when they're happening and they're happening to you.
Yeah.
And trying to find a different pattern. Mm. And the third one is actually creating patterns.
Yeah, a better pattern.
A better pattern. So before the pattern happens, don't try and change it. Just create a different one before it happens.
Yeah.
That's how I see them.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there's no good or bad pattern. It's the results that you get from the pattern that makes it, whether it's not even good or bad, it's whether it's helpful or unhelpful in that situation.
Yeah.
Because you change the situation, certain patterns that you thought were unhelpful might actually be quite helpful, right?
To the world, right?
Yeah. But this is what I talk about when we talk about awareness. You know, it's how you, the second part actually is about framing patterns, isn't it? Framing how you perceive things and framing how you actually then take action on what you're doing. Because for example, a pattern of, you know, time management and effectiveness and prioritization are key topics in business that we're always challenged with. I meet a lot of people who talk about how they want to get more out of their day but are quite ineffective. Yeah. And all you do is you talk to them, you notice their patterns, you observe them, you notice their patterns, you just become aware of the things that they're unaware of. And a classic one is everyone that quotes, you know, "I don't have enough time, I'm running out of time." Yeah, I didn't have time. And that's a pattern. Every time they don't do something, they use time as the reason. It's not the time. It's the pattern that they're using in the time and space. Because as I always quote, time management isn't always about time. It's about space and time, right? So it's about managing the space of what you're trying to achieve over a period of time. That's the key. So the time, whether it's a minute or a year, it's what you're doing within that time period and the space that you allow for certain things and how you prioritize it. So when they say, "I haven't had the time," what they're actually saying, if they were really honest with themselves, is the pattern is I've downgraded that activity in the space of everything else I've got, right? And so that ended up at the bottom, not the top.
Got it.
Right? So yeah. it was less important. It wasn't that you didn't have time, right? And the classic I always use, there's two classics I use in terms of patterns and framing. So I change the frame and I go, right, okay, have you got kids? And they go, yeah, yeah. I said, if you asked me to go and pick your kids up from school and I didn't do it and I turned around to say, yeah, I didn't have time, what would you say to me? Right? And then you start labeling me as a certain person, right? Mm. Well, you know, maybe the project you're working on is my baby or somebody else's baby, right? And that's how they treat it. You know what I mean?
No, you're 100% right. 100% right. Yeah.
It's a different perspective on the same thing, right? So that's one frame. The other frame I use is, imagine I was to give you £1,000 every time you did something on time, every day. Would you do it? And they go, yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So there's another prioritization. So actually, it's all about values. Right? One's love and one's wealth. You leverage that, right? But because people aren't organized, they don't see those particular chunks of activity as important to the big outcome. Right. And the point is, people are focused on the outcome, not the chunks to get there. And you've got to enjoy the process rather than just the outcome, which is why people procrastinate, because it's so far away, the outcome, that they dither and dally around things.
Well, funny you say that, you know, because we actually, one of the messages that we're using to promote this event in Watford, 9th of December, 3 p.m. at the Watford Chamber of Commerce. one of the things we're using to promote this is that successful people actually use distraction and procrastination as a superpower.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they use distraction to help them become more successful.
What do you mean by that then? Explain it to us.
Well, you know, successful people can see that distraction is cause and effect.
Yeah.
So if you're procrastinating or you're distracting, you don't want to do something, there's another reason for it.
Yeah.
And the reason's usually that you're not in flow. You're not in the flow to deliver that project or that piece of work or to do that action, or you're avoiding it for some reason.
Yeah.
Right. So if you know you're avoiding it, then how do you turn it into a positive that you're not avoiding? So, you know, you zoom out and take yourself out of the picture. And if you're a little bird and you're looking at the situation from the sky and you're circling above a situation and you see the situation playing out in front of you, you can actually see what's required to deliver that solution, can't you?
Yeah. It's just called a technique called disassociation.
Disassociation, exactly. Now, when you're in the situation, you cannot disassociate yourself from what's going on. And if you don't have the required information to deliver that solution or to do that thing, you procrastinate.
Yeah.
Because you find excuses. Yeah. What successful people do is they find themselves procrastinating and they think, oh, actually, something's wrong here. It's either that I'm tired and I've lost concentration, or I don't have the information to complete the task. So that's their brain's way of telling them, I need something else right now. And listening to those little internal cues, disassociating yourself from the situation, knowing what you need to do to be able to come back and deliver that, it's a skill.
It is, yes.
Yeah. And it's a skill that successful people have and most unsuccessful people can't see.
Correct, yeah. And it's funny, isn't it, the word distraction, because actually if you are a high-performance athlete, or if you've ever done something like a firewalk, right? I've done a firewalk with the Anthony Robbins seminars that you do. And it's fascinating because you train your brain to be distracted from actually what you're doing. So you disassociate yourself from the hot coals and the potential pain. So your body doesn't notice it. So you're focused on something else, which is the internal chant and dialogue that you're reprogramming your brain and then your body to go and do that walk. So again, distraction is not good or bad. It depends on the situation and the scenario and the outcome you're trying to achieve, right? But at work, distraction can be unhelpful. But as you say, sometimes I can get distracted, but that's because I've been doing a sort of block of work for so long that my brain's going, do you know what? You're a bit tired, mate. What you need to do is go and do something else. And I notice that and I go, do you know what? I'm fading out now. So I need to just put it to one side. 10 minutes. And do you know what I'll do? I'll go for a walk. I might walk to the shop. I might just walk around the block. I might do a little bit of exercise. I might get a cup of tea, whatever I'm doing, just for 10 minutes. Because your brain can't possibly deal with so much for so long. And so actually having these distractions that are helpful to recalibrate how you think And once you notice that and you disassociate from the problem, but you associate into the value of that distraction and use it effectively, what a great strategy. And that's the third thing. You know, we talk about patterns. We talk about how you frame certain things. And then we talk about better strategies that you can lock in. And that will serve you so well next year when you suddenly learn how to optimize yourself in situations where previously you've been kind of unresourceful. And that's what we need more than ever, isn't it?
Mm. 100%. I mean, 2023, we know it's going to be a hard year.
Mm.
Going into 2024, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm not allowing that to distract me from what we need to achieve, because we've still got our goals. And we're still going to achieve them. And actually, most of the successful people in the world, they make their money and they generate wealth in a downturn.
They do, yeah.
They make more money in a recession than they do in a boom market.
Yeah. You
know? And part of the reason for that is they're not selling stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually finding an angle that can help people during that time.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're a restaurant, people still want to go out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So offer something that they can afford that gives them the experience of going out to eat at a price that's useful for them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where we need to be looking, is ignore the distraction of all the stress and turmoil that's going on. It could be that the UK government has changed. You know, we've got three different leaders in 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that there's a war going on somewhere in Eastern Europe. It could be that we've left the EU and there's nearly 3,000 laws that need to be rewritten and ratified. But actually, all of that is peripheral. Yeah. And when you're that bird, disassociated bird circling above your life, looking down, what are you trying to achieve? You're trying to find a solution to a problem. It's always about a solution to a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never about the end product for you. It's about the end product for the people you're trying to serve.
Yeah.
And I think as long as people think that way, and we can help them to give them the tools to start thinking in that way, I actually think 2023 could be the best year ever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it will reshape potentially how lots of people deal with life and business. And you know, if you're a young person entering the sort of working environment next year, you'll probably be so well versed in how business should work in times of toughness that actually anything else that comes your way, you're so resilient and so able and capable mentally, physically, and spiritually that it's actually a really fantastic opportunity for you to grow next year, isn't it?
Well, look, challenge and stress is what we need to grow.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. Even the current education system, and don't get me started on the education system, you know, as broken as it is, it teaches people to learn.
Yeah.
Irrespective of what they're being taught, it teaches them to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to learn is what's important here.
Yeah.
And we need to look at life as a learning experience.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because having been coaching a lot of lovely individuals recently, to help them get back in the career path that they want, what I've noticed is a pattern with lots of people.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, yeah. And one of those patterns is this, that they come out of the education system, which is very linear, and they like certainty. They like to notice the secure patterns of process.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
And when I say to them, okay, so when there's a problem with that process, when something, a curved ball occurs and that process does not work, what do you tend to do? And the commonality is that they look around to other people to get advice. So then I say, well, what happens if that other person that you need isn't there or has never themselves experienced this? And they say, I don't know. And that is one of the problems, the ability to problem solve. We do like to be told what to do more than ever. We like to be shown how things work. But also what we need to do is, in an uncertain world, learn the pattern of problem solving and also learn more than ever to not be sort of preoccupied with the end goal, which is perfectionism. I want to get there. We've got to enjoy the systems that we create in order for us to get there. And those systems quite often are not just linear. quite often they are really quite complex, tricky, difficult. Again, you know, when we talk about difficulty, people avoid difficulty. Well, let me tell you, if you want to live a fulfilling life, if you want to be healthy, if you want to have a successful career, a great business, then you are owning difficulty because you're encouraging that to come into your life, because you don't get anything from having an easy life. And that's where people who want an easy life as an outcome get really wrapped up in mental health issues, confidence issues, because they haven't got the resourceful behaviors to help them overcome the challenges that they face. They haven't learned to slay the dragons, and you have to in life and in business. And next year, there's going to be plenty more. Goodness knows what's going to happen next year after this year or the last 3 years. I mean, you know, the unknown is, for me, is very exciting. And there are different levels of stress, aren't there? Some stress that's helpful, right? And stress that isn't helpful, right? So unhelpful stress is, you know, having arguments with your partner, having financial issues. But helpful stress is going out there and starting a new exercise class that you've never been there before. And your body's going, what the hell are you doing here? Having a cold shower, you know, oh my God. But actually, it's all good for you.
Yeah, but look, it's all, I mean, helpful and unhelpful. It's all about perspective and framing.
Yeah,
yeah. And actually, there's no such thing as unhelpful. There's just unhelpful frames.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's never an unhelpful situation. It's just how you're looking at it.
That's right.
Because if there's stress, then it means that it's a notification that there's something to do.
Yeah.
That there's some activity that you could be doing to help you get out of that situation.
Yeah.
Or some information that either you're missing or you're misinterpreting.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, if we can... And that's the real trick here. That's the real trick, is to stay stoic, to try and disassociate yourself from the emotions that are taking over in the situation. Uh-huh. And use those emotions that you're feeling as a way of saying, well, okay, how can I change that emotion? Uh-huh. What part of this relationship or situation could I put myself in to feel something different? And what is the end product, and how can I achieve that end product?
Yeah.
And actually, you can change something quite stressful and painful into something quite joyful.
Oh yeah, some of the worst things that have happened to me have been the most helpful. Not the most. Yeah, yeah. That's a whole new conversation, isn't it? but no, you know what I mean. I mean, look, out of adversity, if you don't learn from adversity and channel that energy, that lesson, that behavior, that thought into something more productive, then you're really missing the point of adversity, because life is full of adversity. If you don't embrace it and take it forward and use it to help yourself, others, society, then you really are wasting your time here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, did you watch the news last night?
No, I don't tend to want to watch the news.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on a news diet for a long time, but recently I've...
News diet.
Yeah, I avoid the news.
Yeah.
But recently I've actually got quite interested in it because I'm finding it fascinating what's going on. Mm-hmm. And did you know, like, the UK is on this road to net zero?
Yeah.
So everyone knows about net zero. No one knows what it means. But they've one of the big things for net zero is to have onshore wind farms. Mm-hmm. And Liz Truss said she was going to lift the ban on onshore wind farms.
Yeah.
And help people create onshore wind farms. And Rishi Sunak's come aboard and said, no, we're not having onshore wind farms. I'm not lifting the ban. We're going to continue with offshore development. Mm-hmm. And all the advisors are saying, no, you can't do this without onshore wind farms. Like, we need to have onshore wind farms. But no one's actually thinking about what it actually means. And the news reporter was interviewing certain people in different towns, and they pick a picturesque town in Wales that looks beautiful with hills, unspoilt landscapes. And they say to this this resident, oh, what do you think about wind farms? And this resident's saying, well, you know, they want to knock down our houses and build wind farms on our roads and spoil our views. And and I'm thinking, actually, you know, she's got a point. Because if I was that person living there,
sure, that's right.
You know, I wouldn't want any of those horrible things. Mm-hmm. But then I think back to my view of Holland, windmills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, wind farms, windmills, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Back in years gone by, the windmill was the peak of technology, and it was the center of a town. That's where you got your flour, and the baker usually had the windmill, and that's where you turned flour and wheat into flour and flour into bread. So, you know, wind farms now is our energy production, and it's one of the cheapest, easiest ways of producing energy. It's actually a third of the price of gas. Yeah. No, actually more than that, a sixth. I think gas was 260 pence per kilowatt hour. A wind farm is like 60 or something ridiculous. Like, it's really low. And it's a very efficient way of generating heat. But the problem that people have is they're not looking at wind farms in the right way. They're saying, well, actually, if we said we're going to build onshore wind farms, we're going to put them in these locations, mm-hmm. people will be far more up for it. Yeah. And the government will be far more accepting of it. And this one professor was speaking and said, well, you know, we should put wind farms on top of hospitals, mm-hmm. schools. And they don't have to be these massive, ugly windmills that you see on the motorway.
That's right, yeah.
They can be lots. There's lots of different ways to generate, make buildings self-sustaining.
Yeah.
And I think the problem there is the message. Because the message of onshore wind farms is people are associating it with being an eyesore.
That's right, yeah, correct.
And an upheaval. Whereas if they associate it with self-sustaining energy,
yeah,
it's a completely different conversation, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. It's how you frame it.
Change the frame.
Yeah, that's right.
Change the frame from how it looks to what it does.
Yeah.
Well, we all want that. So how do we achieve that in a way that we're happy?
Yeah, that's right. Well, again, most people put a frame around themselves, don't they? So they always look at what's going to hurt them first, right? Yeah. Rather than what's going to benefit others or the environment. So they're self-preserving.
Well, yeah, but it's still self-preservation. If you've got a frame around yourself that my energy bill is going to be £2,000 this year.
There you go, right. So it's the value that goes in the frame of
it's
self.
It's the value. Energy value, right? So you can really change it. And I think helping people to see things in this way, which is what we're going to do in our event, obviously, I think that is really going to help people to understand how to deal with conflict.
Yeah, that's right.
And how to deal with challenges that they come up against.
Yeah.
And any situation, when you have a conversation with somebody about it, it's the British way, isn't it, to grumble.
It is, yeah.
It's the British way to grumble. Yeah. But actually, instead of grumbling, maybe we need to still grumble because we enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But put that grumbling into a frame and say, what's the opposite of that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Edward de Bono have you heard of Edward de Bono?
No, tell me about him.
Oh, he's a fantastic sort of psychologist who specializes in things like lateral thinking. He's a thinking expert.
Okay.
And one of the things he talks about a lot is a whole book he's put together on frames of thinking. And one of the things he talks about when we look at topics, not problems, just topics. So let's talk about wind farms. The best way to sit down and debate wind farms is to look at everything that's good about something, right? Anything that's good, whether it's AI, wind farms, immigration, everything that's good about it. And you're not allowed to escape from that frame. It's got to be good, 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 regardless of what your natural instinct is. And you do that for half an hour. You make lists and you debate and all that sort of stuff. Everything's good. Then you do the everything that's bad. You just talk about everything that's bad about wind farms, immigration, whatever you want to call it. And then suddenly you've got contrast and you can see, because you can literally just weigh up the good and the bad, can't you?
Yeah.
And then the third frame is the interesting. So what's interesting about what we've talked about? And what's interesting about where we're going to go next? And what's interesting about who's changed their mind? What's interesting about the strategy we've got? Just what's interesting, not good or bad. Not helpful or unhelpful, what's interesting. And then what you're left with is where you're going to go next, which is another frame, which is the action plan, you know. So,
So
it just helps you, because we always have bias, as we know, we talk about this a lot. People do have, you know, I don't like the look of wind farms. So that then overrides everything, all the values. But actually, you know, I actually quite like the look of those windmills. I quite like the modern look. It doesn't affect me, but then, you know, that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But actually, what's the point? It's not what it is. It's why we're doing it and where it's going to. And like you say, there's a lot of nuances being missed from our framed bias. So what we have to do is ask better questions, explore possibility, and come up with solutions. But politicians don't often do that because they don't want to give away their approach too much, because they know that they'll waste half their time arguing against someone who has a bias against their strategy or knows best. That's one of the problems.
That's one of the problems, exactly. And actually, the argument is what gives us the illusion of choice.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
It gives us an illusion of choice. But actually, they're arguing about two things that we wouldn't select either if we had a third.
Correct. Yeah. So if you want to learn more about all of these tools, techniques, come to the event in Watford Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
It's the 9th, isn't it? Between
9th of December, yeah. Queen's Road. So what you have to do is you walk into the shopping centre. Mm-hmm.
The into, literally.
Into, and it's under the bridge. Before you cross, go under the underpass, there's a bridge. Into's yeah. in two sides.
Yeah.
And there's like a bridge that leads to the underpass. And yeah. the office is on the right. All the details will be on our website, thebusinessbrain.co.uk. There's a banner at the top that talks about our event. Click the link there and you'll get all the details. You can sign up on Eventbrite. And actually, anyone listening to this podcast who wants a 20% discount, use the code ChamberGang22.
ChamberGang22. We'll have that on the link, won't we, as well? So.
Well.
Yeah. And bring a friend as well if you want. The more the merrier.
Yeah, exactly. There will be fun.
Yeah.
And networking afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's going to be great.
Meet like-minded people. It's going to be good fun.
Good, good.
Honor, thank you so much.
Ollie, likewise. Thanks, mate. Appreciate
See you
that.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.